RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Constitutional Court begins hearing for 7 election disputes. Jakarta City to provide special facilities for visually impaired citizens. East Java to build 18 retention basins to anticipate flood. Now the news in detail. The Constitutional Court is scheduled to begin summoning witnesses and experts to testify for 7 regional election disputes on Monday, February 1, 2016, after turning down more than in 100 lawsuits in dismissal verdicts last week. The hearings aim to cross-check the evidences and hear testimonies from both the Plaintiffs and General Election Commission, or KPU, as the defendant. According to its website, the Constitutional Court is stated on Monday to start the hearings for the districts of Mambramo Raya in Papua, Bintuni Bay, West Papua, Kuantan Singgigi, Riau, West Bangka in Bangka Belitung, and Muna, Southwest Sulawesi. Two more hearings will be held on Tuesday, February 2, 2016, for the election disputes in Sula Island in North Maluku and South Solok in West Sumatra. The verdicts are scheduled to be issued no later than March 7, Constitutional Court spokesman Fajar Laksono has said. The court earlier received 147 lawsuits and has granted only one motion, a ballot recount in one sub-district in South Halmahera, North Maluku. The rupiah has continued its positive move by regaining the 13,600 level on Monday morning, as the U.S. dollar retreated amid disappointing U.S. gross domestic product (GDP) data, after scoring a 0.7% rise to 13,778 per U.S. dollar on Friday last week. The rupiah on Monday morning strengthened by another 0.7% to 13,697 rupiah as of 9 a.m. Monex Investindo Futures researcher and analyst Faisal said the U.S. dollar was under pressure after U.S. economic growth slowed to 0.7% in the last quarter of last year. It's a big punch, as GDP was the main indicator referred to by the U.S. Federal Reserve before increasing its key interest rate, Faisal said in Jakarta on Monday, February 1, 2016, as quoted by Kontan.co.id. Meanwhile, in the stock market, the Jakarta Composite Index reversed direction from a 0.11% increase to 4,620.36 points at the opening to a 0.3% drop as of 10:30 a.m., sending the JCI back to 4,600.89. Jakarta Deputy Governor Jarod Saiful Hidayat said that the city administration would provide facilities for the visually impaired citizens in the city. The visually impaired citizens must receive special facilities, be it in the health sector and the education sector, he said in Jakarta on Sunday, January 31st, during the 50th anniversary of the Indonesian Visually Impaired People Association, or PERTUNI. Therefore, Jarod said that the administration had coordinated with Intuitions overseeing public services to provide facilities for visually impaired people, such as crossing bridge or transportation infrastructures, such as a special room for visually impaired people. Jarod also called on the people not to regard visually impaired citizens as the object whom the government must take pity on. Jarod also urged all sides to take part in supporting visually impaired citizens to become the subjects of development in every region. Jarod added, "Quite a few visually impaired citizens have made achievements, so there are no differences between them and normal people." East Java Governor Soekarwo said that the provincial government would build around 18 retention basins across the cities and districts to prevent flood in the region. The East Java government still rely on retention basins on a yearly basis, said Soekarwo on Monday, February 1, 2016. Soekarwo explained that the retention basins would be centered in several areas, namely Tuban District, Bojonegoro District, Bangkalan District, Sampang, Sumenep, and Pamekasan District. According to Soekarwo, a retention basin has a huge benefit. It catches rainwater and prevents flood. It can also be utilized for the people. The water catched by a retention basin can be used for irrigation, washing, and bathing. Besides retention basins, the provincial government would also propose around 192 dams to be restored to the central government. The provincial government, however, has always had difficulties in proposing the restoration to the central government. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government announced that the railway connecting Padang Station in Simpang Haru Padang with Minangkabau International Airport in Padang Pariaman Region, West Sumatra, is expected to be operated in August this year. The railway will span 23 kilometers. Indonesian Transportation Ministry has targeted that the railway can be used in August this year, said West Sumatra Transportation Agency Amran. According to him, the construction of the airport is now at the phase of improving the railway and constructing a new railway with a length of 4.2 km from Duku to the airport. As for the building of two stations, Duku Station and Minangkabau Station, the constructions are expected to be completed this year with a cost of 10 billion rupiah and 21.7 billion rupiah respectively. Amran also said that he was optimistic that the construction of the railway, whose funds are from the 2015 state budget, could be completed on time. Amran further said that the rail buses, which is ordered from South Korea, used on the railway would be same as the ones used in Kuala Namu Airport, Medan. An Indonesian citizen is among dozens of foreigners reportedly arrested in Saudi Arabia for their alleged involvement in the terrorist attacks in the country. The Foreign Ministry of Indonesia has yet to confirm the arrest of the Indonesian national, according to a report by Kompas.com based on a report by AFP on Monday, February 1, 2016. Citing a news report released by Saudi Gazette, AFP reported that Saudi Arabian authorities arrested 9 U.S. citizens in separate raids, 4 of whom were arrested on January 25th, and the other 5 in the past 4 days. Police also apparently arrested 14 Saudi Arabians, 3 Yemenis, 2 Syrians, and 1 national each of Kazakhstan, Palestine, the Philippines, and the United Arab Emirates. It was not clear whether the arrests are related to the Islamic State group, which claimed responsibility for several attacks against security personnel and Shia residents in Saudi Arabia over the past several months. Olympic Council of Asia, OCA, has set 37 sport games to be held in the 18th Asian Games, which will be held in Jakarta and Palembang in 2018. There will be 36 sport and one additional sport from the host, so that the total is 37 sport, said the chief of OCA, or Olympic Council of Asia Coordinating Commission, Sunekazu Takeda, in a press conference Sunday, January 31, 2016. Takeda satisfied, saying the development for the preparation of Asian Games in Indonesia as the host of the 2018 Olympic. There are a few changes for the area of the competition. Table tennis and gymnastics will be held in Jakarta from previously planned to be held in Palembang, and tennis and soft tennis will be held in Palembang from previously planned to be held in Jakarta. Chief of National Olympic Committee Indonesia, or COWI, Erick Thohir, explained that the 28 of 36 sports are from the Olympic and 8 sports are from the non-Olympic. It will either be jet ski, paragliding, bridge or rock sport, or wall climbing. OCA also called on the construction of the competition arena to be finished on the definite time, since there will be Asian Youth Games in the mid of 2017. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Constitutional Court begins hearing for 7 election disputes. Jakarta City to provide special facilities for visually impaired citizens. East Java to build 18 retention basins to anticipate flood. That was the news.
Listener Hughes' commentary entitled Anticipating Greater Food Scarcity Due to Climate Change. The world is expected to experience food shortages. A United States and United Kingdom joint task force recently said that the threat of the global food shortages are to triple due to the climate change. This is likely to be felt by Indonesia, given the inadequate availability of the local food. Minister for Rural Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration, Marwan Jafar, said the food shortages that might occur in the country will lead Indonesia into a net importer of food such as corn, soybeans, wheat, and rice. For rice, Indonesia's imports in the past 2 years alone have increased significantly. During the period of January to June 2015, the total rice imports reached almost 200 million kilograms, worth nearly $85,000. This figure is higher than the same period in the previous years, which was only about 176 million kilograms, with a value of $76 million. The government in 2015 made some efforts to increase the food production, including through the improvement and construction of water reservoir. The results of these efforts was a simultaneous increased production of rice, corn, and soybeans in 2015. But apparently, this is not significant enough to make Indonesia block the food imports. The efforts made by the government of Indonesia to improve the food production today are quite appropriate, namely through the construction of dams, reservoir, improvements of irrigation networks, and infrastructure in rural areas. However, the climate change and extreme weather caused by the global warming have become an obstacle in efforts to increase the food production itself. The impact on food production in Indonesia has been immediate. Climate and weather have become uncertain and sometimes change drastically. No longer following the rhythm of the tropical climate of the two seasons, the rainy season and dry season, but overlapping between the two, rain in the dry season and dry in the rainy season. It is certain that such drastic changes recently impact on the capacity of agricultural production and food availability, which is still very dependent on the climate. Maybe it's the time to change the paradigm of food security from the mainland perspective towards maritime. All parties need to give more attention to the enormous potential existing in the ocean, considering that Indonesia is a maritime country. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on February 1st, 1979, when Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini returned to Iran. On February 1st, 1979, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini returned to Iran after 14 years in political exile. Khomeini had been a prominent opponent of Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi, who had fled the country during the events of the Iranian Revolution. On return, he was greeted by the crowds of millions. The next event was in 2003, when the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster occurred. The Space Shuttle Columbia disaster occurred on February 1, 2003, when Columbia disintegrated over Texas and Louisiana as it re-entered Earth's atmosphere, killing all seven crew members. During the launch of STS-107, Columbia's 28th mission, a piece of foam insulation broke off from the Space Shuttle external tank and struck the left wing of the orbiter. A few previous shuttle launches had seen minor damage from the foam shedding, but some engineers suspected that the damage to Columbia was more serious. NASA managers limited the investigation, reasoning that the crew could not have fixed the problem if it had been confirmed. When Columbia re-entered the atmosphere of Earth, the damage allowed the hot atmospheric gases to penetrate and destroy the internal wing structure, which caused the spacecraft to become unstable and slowly breaking apart. After the disaster, Space Shuttle flight operations were suspended for more than 2 years, similar to the aftermath of the Challenger disaster. And the last event was in 2005, when Nepal King Gyanendra staged a coup. Gyanendra Bir Bikram Shah Dev was the king of Nepal from 2001 until 2008. As a child, he was also briefly king from 1950 to 1951, when his grandfather Sri Bhuvan went into exile in India with the rest of his family. Following the Nepalese royal massacre in 2001, he again became the king. Gyanendra's second reign was marked by the constitutional turmoil. His predecessor, King Birendra, had established a constitutional monarchy in which he delegated policy to a representative government. The growing insurgency of the Nepalese civil war during King Gyanendra's reign interfered with the elections of the representatives. After several delays in election, King Gyanendra suspended the constitution and assumed direct authority in February 2005, assuring that it will be a temporary situation to suppress the Maoist insurgency. In the face of broad opposition, he restored the previous parliament in April 2006. His reign ended approximately 2 years later, when the Nepalese Constituent Assembly declared Nepal a republic and abolished the monarchy. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. In today's edition, it's on Indonesia to host an extraordinary OIC summit on Palestine. The Indonesian government has expressed its readiness to host an Organization of Islamic Cooperation extraordinary summit planned to take place on the 6th to 7th of March 2016 at the Jakarta Convention Center. The summit is to be held specifically to discuss the Palestine and Al-Quds Al-Sharif, a region which is projected to become the capital of Palestine. On March the 6th, a senior official meeting, or SOM, and a meeting at the ministerial level are to be held, while on March 7th, it will be at the level of heads of state or government of the OIC. A total of 57 heads of state or government institutions of the OIC and other world leaders are expected to come to Jakarta to discuss OIC strategic steps in supporting Palestinian struggle for independence and finding solutions to the issue of Al-Quds Al-Sharif. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman Armanata Kristiawan Nasir explained at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta recently. Related to the OIC, now we are preparing plans for OIC summit, an extraordinary summit regarding Palestine and Al-Quds al-Sharif. The plan is on the 6th March. There will be senior official meeting or SOM and a meeting at the ministerial level while the summit is on March 7. The invitations are sent to all OIC member states that we expect to be present at the summit. But indeed, we must also remember it is an extraordinary meeting which is quite sudden, unlike any regular meeting.
Extraordinary itu adalah suatu pertemuan yang sifatnya mendadak, bukan pertemuan reguler.
Furthermore, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir explained, since the extraordinary summit meeting of Organization of Islamic Cooperation is abrupt in nature, the Indonesian government understands if there will be ministers and heads of state who are unable to attend the meeting. According to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, Indonesia's readiness to host the extraordinary summit meeting of Organization of Islamic Cooperation demonstrates the government's commitment to support the independence of Palestine. OIC has chosen Indonesia as the host of the summit due to the high commitment of Indonesia to Palestine and Indonesia's experience in preparing and organizing such a summit in a short time. Ministry of Foreign Affairs said they did not worry about the threat of terrorist attacks during the summit. Armanata Kristiawan Nasir added that terrorism is a challenge for every country, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs said they were proud with the Indonesian security forces who are swift in controlling such situations. Meanwhile, in a statement, OIC conveys its appreciation to Indonesia for willing to host the extraordinary summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Over the past few days, the Secretary General of the OIC, Iyad Amin Madani, has conducted intensive talks with Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, and Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad Al-Malki on the arrangement and preparations for the summit and to establish a high-level committee. The extraordinary summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation is to be held following a request from Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to the OIC to consolidate and increase the effort in support of the Palestinian people to fight for their rights, including the right to freedom of worship. That was Focus of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here are some headlines of newspaper published in Jakarta today on Monday, February 1, 2016. Well, begin from Kompas newspaper. In its headline, Kompas write ASEAN Games haunted with doubts. Doubts overshadow Asian Games of Jakarta Palembang 2018. Until Sunday, the ramping of various Olympic venues doesn't look significant. Unsurprisingly, on last Saturday, the Olympic Council of Asia, OCA, urged Indonesia to work harder to fix the readiness of the arena. The lack of readiness is irony if seen the appointment of India as the host of Asian Games in 2015 since September 2014. This means that until the end of January 2016, Indonesia has been 16 months in preparation. Secretary General of the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Topit Wijoyono, said that the need of rehabilitation budget for 12 arenas at Gelora Bung Karno is still being calculated. He explained the design work will begin with the team's assistant of architects and professionals with the target of completion in June 2016. The work will begin in July. In his headline, Media Indonesia newspaper writes, Lemhanas anticipating social change. As a country with population of over 250 million people who inhabited the tens of thousands of islands, Indonesia is vulnerably hit by issues of nationalism, inequality of development, and environmental damage. Thus, the National Resilience Institute, or Lemhanas, made consultation to talk the Indonesian scenario in 2045 for the state apparatus to comprehend the dynamics of any social change issues which are potentially disruptive to the life of the community. The remark was affirmed by Governor of Lemhanas, Budi Susilo Supanji. He told Media Indonesia in Jakarta on Saturday that the scenarios provide different perspectives to the compilers of the development plan for each opportunity in the future. the author of Indonesian Skenario 2045, Panutan Sulandra Kusuma, pointed out that there are four scenarios, namely Spring Skenario, River Skenario, Island Skenario, and Waterfall Skenario. The first scenario focuses on human qualities. Finally, the fourth scenario focuses on the environment. Well, listener, we come to an end with Tempo newspaper. In its headline, Tempo writes, the state of Gapar will exist in 2024. This is regarded as an indication that the organization intends to establish its own state. In a speech in 2014, the founder of Al-Qaeda Al-Islamiyah, Ahmad Musaddad, pointed out that the Kingdom of God will stand up in 2024. The teaching of Al-Qaeda Al-Islamiyah is used by Mila Ibrahim and then by Gavatar. But the police claimed that they did not credit Gavatar because they will first coordinate with the Minister of Religious Affairs and other related agencies. Head of the Public Information Bureau Police Headquarters, Brigadier General Agus Rianto, said yesterday that the police chief, General Badr in Haiti, previously called the findings state structure that Gavatar is a serious threat. Listener, those were some headlines of national newspapers published today on Monday 1st of February 2016. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The Constitutional Court is scheduled to begin summoning witnesses and experts to testify for 7 regional election disputes on Monday, February 1, 2016, after turning down more than in 100 lawsuits in dismissal verdicts last week. The hearings aim to cross-check the evidences and hear testimonies from both the plaintiffs and General Election Commission, or KPU, as the defendant. The rupiah has continued its positive move by regaining the 13,600 level on Monday morning as the U.S. dollar retreated amid disappointing U.S. gross domestic product GDP data. After scoring a 0.7% rise to 13,778 per U.S. dollar on Friday last week, the rupiah on Monday morning strengthened by another 0.7% to 13,697 rupiah as of 9 a.m. Jakarta Deputy Governor Jarod Saiful Hidayat said that the city administration would provide facilities for the visually impaired citizens in the city. The visually impaired citizens must receive special facilities, be it in the health sector and the education sector, he said in Jakarta on Sunday, during the 50th anniversary of the Indonesian Visually Impaired People Association, or PERTUNI. East Java Governor Soekarwo said that the provincial government would build around 18 retention basins across the cities and districts to prevent flood in the region. The East Java government still rely on retention basins on a yearly basis, Soekarwo said on Monday, February 1, 2016. He explained that the retention basins would be centered in several areas, namely Tuban, Bojonegoro, Bangkalan, Sampang, Sumenep, and Pamekasan districts. The government announced that the railway connecting Padang Station in Simpang Haru Padang with Minangkabau International Airport in Padang Pariaman Regency, West Sumatra, is expected to be operated in August this year. The railway will span 23 kilometers. Indonesian Transportation Ministry has targeted that the railway can be used in August this year, West Sumatra Transportation Agency head Amran said. An Indonesian citizen is among dozens of foreigners reportedly arrested in Saudi Arabia for their alleged involvement in terrorist attacks in the country. The Foreign Ministry of Indonesia has yet to confirm the arrest of the Indonesian national, according to a report by Kompas.com, based on a report by AFP on Monday, February 1, 2016. Olympic Council of Asia, OCA, has set 37 sport games to be held in the 18th Asian Games, which will be held in Jakarta and Palembang in 2018. There will be 36 sport and one additional sport from the host, so that total is 37 sport, said the chief of OCA Coordinating Commission, Senekazu Takeda, in a press conference on Sunday. Listener, that was News in Brief.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Detok Nii Ritual in Flores, East Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, in East Nusa Tenggara, precisely at Sambiko Hamlet, Watunggene Village, Kota Komba, Subdistrict East Manggarai Regency, Flores, live Seso tribe whose ancestor came from India. In the past, the ancestors of Seso tribe sailed on three boats from India and docked at Lengge Lapu, now Waimokal Estuary. They live at Sambiko Hamlet. Until now, Seso tribe has still preserved their ancestors' tradition. One of them is Detok Nii Ritual, which we'll be introduced you to now. Listeners, Detok Nii is a ritual to traditionally bless corn and rice seeds before being planted at field. This ritual is held at traditional house of Seso tribe at Sambiko Hamlet by traditional leader of Seso tribe. This ritual is held annually before planting season in December. If the ritual is not held, the seeds will not grow. Even though the seeds grow, results will not be abundant. The ritual is usually implemented in late November. In 2015, this ritual was held when entering planting season in December 2015. Before the ritual was held, Seso tribe cut the grass at the field to plant corn and rice seeds. This field is not far from Sambiko Hamlet. Listeners, on the implementation day of Detok Nii ritual, all villagers of Seso tribe came to the traditional house while carrying the food. Some of the villagers brought firewood, beverage, corn and rice seeds. When the villagers were discussing at the traditional house, the host served East Manggarai typical food, namely Jojong Dao. Jojong Dao is cooked by using lewing tanah or clay jar. Jojong Dao is made from cassava and mixed with gula kolang or palm sugar, which is taken from coconut tree. Jojong Dao is appetizer for guests at the traditional house. After enjoying the dish, the traditional leader of Seso tribe began to hold Detok Nii ritual. Listeners, before Detok Nii ritual was held, the materials of the ritual were prepared first, such as corn and rice seeds, rooster and rice. All materials were stored in bakul, a basket from a bamboo. The traditional leader of Seso tribe read the traditional mantra to bless the seeds while holding the rooster. After reading the mantra, the rooster was slaughtered. Then its blood was poured on Watu Nurung or offering place to the ancestors. Besides the rooster's blood, the corn and rice seeds as well as the tools which are needed are also put on Watu Nurung. After that, the traditional leader would see Lema Manuk or the tongue of the chicken. From the chicken tongue, the leader will see whether the nature accepts the ritual or not. listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Wisata ke Bandung Bagian 1, which in English means Traveling to Bandung Part 1. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Wisata. Wisata, which means traveling. Besok. Besok, which means tomorrow. Berangkat. Berangkat, which means leave. Jam berapa. Jam berapa, which means what time. Jam enam. Jam enam, which means 6 o'clock. Pagi, pagi, which means morning. Berkumpul, berkumpul, which means get together or to meet. Tempat parkir, which means parking area. Masjid, masjid, which means mosque. Bis, bis, which means bus. Menunggu, menunggu, which means to wait for. Jangan lupa. Jangan lupa, which means don't forget. Membawa. Membawa, which means to bring. Payung. Payung, which means umbrella. Jas hujan. Jas hujan, which means raincoat. Obat-obatan. Obat-obatan, which means medicines. Makanan kecil. Makanan kecil, which means snacks. Minuman. Minuman, which means beverages. Panitia. Panitia, which means committee. Tepat waktu. Tepat waktu, which means on time. Jemput. Jemput, which means to pick up. Bersama. Bersama, which means together. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Wisata ke Bandung Bagian 1, or in English means Traveling to Bandung Part 1. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Ani in front of the house. They will travel to Bandung tomorrow morning. A. Nita. Besok kita berangkat ke Bandung jam berapa? Besok kita berangkat ke Bandung jam berapa? Which means, what time we'll go to Bandung tomorrow? B. Ani. Besok kita berangkat jam 6 pagi. Besok kita berangkat jam 6 pagi. Which means, tomorrow, we will leave at 6 a.m. A. Nita. Di mana kita berkumpul? Di mana kita berkumpul? Which means, where will we meet? B. Ani. Kita berkumpul di tempat parkir masjid. Kita berkumpul di tempat parkir masjid. Which means, we'll meet at the parking area of the mosque. Bis akan menunggu di tempat parkir. Bis akan menunggu di tempat parkir, which means the bus will wait for us there. A. Nita, apakah kita harus membawa makanan dan minuman? Apakah kita harus membawa makanan dan minuman? Which means, should we bring some foods and beverages? B. Ani, tidak. Makanan kecil dan minuman sudah disediakan oleh panitia. Tidak. Makanan kecil dan minuman sudah disediakan oleh panitia. Which means, no need. Snacks and beverages have been prepared by the committee. Jangan lupa membawa payung atau jas hujan, juga obat-obatan. Jangan lupa membawa payung atau jas hujan, juga obat-obatan. Which means, do not forget to bring umbrella or raincoat and medicines. Kita harus berangkat tepat waktu. Kita harus berangkat tepat waktu, which means we must leave on time. Supaya tidak terlalu siang sampai di Bandung. Supaya tidak terlalu siang sampai di Bandung, which means so that we will not be too late to get to Bandung. Selain itu, supaya tidak terkena macet. Selain itu, supaya tidak terkena macet, which means besides, we will not be caught by traffic jam. A. Nita, baiklah, besok kamu jemput saya ya. Baiklah, besok kamu jemput saya ya. Which means, alright, pick me up tomorrow, okay? Kita berangkat bersama-sama. Kita berangkat bersama-sama. Which means, we'll go together. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll meet again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you Indonesian Kroncong talented woman singer. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song entitled Kesayangan by Tri Novianti. Happy listening. Sometimes we are not able to avoid when the past memories present in memory, especially for a beautiful memories with beloved one. Listener, the song Kesayangan tells about someone who recalled the beautiful memories when hearing their favorite song on the radio. Memories of the good times when they are get together come again so that she want to see her former beloved again. That was a glimpse of the song Kesayangan by Tri Novianti. Tri Novianti, who has a melodious and gentle voice, used to appear on the show of Kroncong Music on the state television station TVRI. But she began to appear again to sing after her condition began to improve a few years later. Listener, you still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. And now let's listen to the next song entitled Pandangan Pertama by another Kroncong singer, Sri Hartati. Happy listening.
Pada pandangan yang pertama, siapa ku bertanya, gerangan apa sebabnya? Pada pandangan yang pertama, serasa hati bertanya, semuanya dia membisu. Hanya jantung berdebar selalu, tiada irama yang menentu, nafas pun menyesaki dada, lenyap segala rencana. Pada pandangan yang pertama, aku telah jatuh cinta siapa ku mengaku, semuanya tiada yang tahu. Selalu tiada irama yang menentu. Nafas pun menyesat di dada, lenyap segala rencana. Pada pandangan yang pertama, aku telah jatuh cinta pada siapa.
The title of the song, Pandangan Pertama or The First Sight, the song tells about the story of love at the first sight. Feelings become erratic and the heart rumbled. No words can be spoken and no one knew the mood at the moment. The theme of The First Sight much raised in various works, both writing, movies and songs as well. However, love at the first sight seem never run out of stories and always interesting. The song was nicely sung by Sri Hartati. The melodious voice with a distinctive vocal of Sri Hartati makes the song become easier to enjoy. A good music accompaniment also makes the song more beautiful to be listened to. Listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the nationalism theme song sung by Ipo entitled Tanah Airku. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.